So, hi B, welcome to the Life in Recovery podcast.
Thank you. Hi.
Nice to meet you.
You too.
So we connected through LinkedIn, through our mutual organization that we work for. And yeah, I thought it'd be interesting to have a chat with you and hear your story of addiction and recovery. So where do you want to begin?
I guess I'll start with the backstory of how my addiction started and how it was really. I guess I classify myself as a poly addict. I used a variety of different things. It was benzos that I ended up being like physically dependent on. I guess I was self-medicating. What I was diagnosed with has very erratic mood changes and quite intense moods. So I ended up essentially using whatever I felt I needed in that moment, depending on like how I was feeling and the situation I was in. And I think with self-medicating, the problem is you do realize very quickly that in the short term it does work. It gets a bit messy quite quickly. And I did a detox without much like follow-up recovery work, I guess. And I fell back into things quite quickly. And then I went to rehab. So I had done like a lot of work on my mental health, but I think because I was using like the work wasn't really going in properly. It's almost like putting a plaster on a wound where it needs like the air to heal kind of thing. So I guess when I went into rehab, you do so many groups about emotional regulation and relationships and kind of tackling all of the addictive habits that come alongside it kind of thing. I found that really, really helpful. To my mental health and obviously like addiction wise as well. It's quite weird looking back because I remember I really didn't think that I would ever come out of that place. And I was really sure that if I ever did, life would be very uncomfortable for me. Because I think when you haven't learned how to regulate your own emotions and you're using to cope with it, like you never do learn. You kind of have to go through those experiences sober to make your own coping strategies and kind of show yourself that you will be fine. Going through things and relying on yourself rather than a substance. I'll be like 9 months sober in a few days.
Wow.
Things are like really, really good for me now.
That's cool. So at what age are you now, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 22.
Right. So at what age were you when you kind of recognized that you kind of had mental health issues, and how did they present themselves?
I think I was about 14. It started off as really severe anxiety in school. I was struggling with self-harming at that time, which I think again is another like addictive kind of behavior. So I definitely showed those kind of patterns from a younger age as well. And I was having quite bad like attachment problems as well. So that was the main sort of signs for me growing up. And then I was diagnosed with EUPD when I was about 18, I think.
What's that? UPD?
It's emotionally unstable personality disorder, or like the name got changed from borderline personality disorder. And I think with that diagnosis, I think it's over 70% of people diagnosed with it do end up abusing substances. So it's definitely, a big thing. And it's quite tricky with mental health services as well, because you get bounced around a lot. The mental health services won't really typically help you if you're using. And yeah, it's definitely difficult to get that kind of proper support.
And prior to these kind of issues coming into your life, what do you, is the kind of like a catalyst that you can think about now that, you know, like what was life like up to the age of 14? Was the stuff going on that you think, you know, kind of contributed to the issues?
I think like a major part of the diagnosis, or basically how it's formed, is childhood trauma. So I had like problems at home and bullying at school, and I think I was basically in a constant state of high alert and like anxiety and fight or flight. And I think when you've been in like programmed to be that way for such a long time, it does kind of get ingrained into you in a way. And I don't know, I think that's why you do end up kind of leaning towards escapism and, you know, like behaviors that almost distract you from the way you're feeling or thinking inside. It's like you don't really want to be alone with yourself.
Yeah. What was going on at home?
Well, my sister was quite unwell for quite a few years. She had cancer, so it was like quite difficult. And I guess my parents were not having the best time. I mean, it was quite a few years of like toing and froing, like getting together and splitting up. And so, you know, the household was quite like difficult to live in at times. And yeah, obviously, like school and stuff was definitely not an easy place for me to be in either. So it was sort of a mixture of a lot of different things going on, I guess.
Yeah. So the kind of self-harming began, and then when did substances become a thing?
Substances became a thing when I moved away from home. When I was like 18, it definitely escalated quite quickly for me. I went away for uni, and I think a big part of me going away for uni was that I thought if I moved far away, I'd sort of have a fresh start and things would start over, I guess. But I don't know, when the problem is kind of innately within you, it doesn't really matter where you go, it's kind of gonna follow you around. Yeah, I think it was when I was living on my own and I realized that I could, originally it was like, okay, I feel like I need this and I can kind of get away with it more because, you know, no one was really around me like that. And yeah, I guess, so primarily it was definitely benzos because I was basically buying them for during like the episodes that I had of like really intense emotions. And I remember I bought them and I thought, okay, I'm only going to use them like when I really, really need them kind of thing. And that spiraled. And then obviously you try out more different things and then it all gets into like a big mess, really.
So were you, what were you using at the same time as the benzos then?
Quite a lot. I was using like coke sometimes, ket sometimes, MDMA, psychedelics, nitrous, like hash and weed. It really depended on how I felt, really. Because I guess as well as the really intense anxiety and like feeling angry and depressed and stuff, you also have episodes of really elevated mood and like euphoria, which then you kind of, I guess, boost up with like stimulants and stuff. And I think another big part of my diagnosis is that definitely back then during episodes, you don't have the best, you don't feel very in touch with consequences, like you get very impulsive. So I don't know, it's definitely difficult to get into the state of mind of recovery where even in those moments you can still see the long-term consequences of things.
Yeah, I can definitely relate because when I went to university, it felt as like the shackles were off almost, and
Yeah.
it's kind of like do what you want. There's nobody watching you. nobody monitoring what's going on, and like it's very, like you said, it escalates very quickly, doesn't it, when you're in that kind of environment, and
Yeah.
especially when there's nobody around you that actually knows you, like the real you. So you can kind of you can get away with pretty much anything you want, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
So whereabouts were you at uni?
I did a year at Nottingham Trent and then I moved to Kingston and did 3 years there.
Okay. And were you spending time in London, kind of being down around that way? Yeah.
Yeah, I was, yeah, near London, yeah.
Which,
Recipe for disaster.
yeah,
Yeah.
I was just gonna
Yeah.
say that. If there's anywhere they get lost in addiction, that is the place. So between the ages of kind of 18 and 22, when you came into recovery, what did that look like, and how did it progress to the point where you felt like you kind of needed to get some help?
It was definitely difficult. I was in mental health services at that time, kind of bouncing in and out of different ones, and I was in and out of hospital a lot, for my mental health and for like things relating to my addiction at the time. So it was a very chaotic lifestyle. I remember when I did my detox, like I don't think I was entirely ready to be sober at that point. It was kind of, I guess, my mental health service that essentially pushed for it because of, like, obviously it's quite dangerous and stuff. And I think I was just in a really low, like, it's hard to even describe that type of low where you've half resigned yourself to. Like, okay, this is never going to change, basically. And also being desperate for it too. Like, I guess you feel so low risk. Like, I can't really live this life, but as in the way it is right now. And I was with like CGL throughout all of this time, and they suggested like me going to rehab and stuff. And they did explain the way the groups are. And I guess at that point I thought it's kind of at least worth a shot. Because I guess you don't get that kind of opportunity very often. Like I wanted to, I guess, just give it a go. Because I guess like when you've already tried a lot of things and there's a new avenue, like you know what I mean? So I went there, it was definitely difficult at the beginning, but it helped me in a lot of different ways. Obviously staying off of substances is a massive one. As I said, the groups as well. And I think being in that kind of environment with other people who are very similar to you, and you have that kind of mutual understanding. And I think for people who have come from a very chaotic lifestyle where you're constantly on high alert, having that time to just like sit with yourself and feel safe doing that, like kind of in a bubble, I think it is really, really helpful. And I was definitely worried about coming out because of leaving that bubble. I definitely felt like, okay, I'm gonna feel really vulnerable. And I guess because the days are really structured there, you wonder how am I going to fill my time and you know what's it going to be like and stuff. But I think since I came out, I really tried to stay regimented with the routines I had and kind of like I guess pushing myself out my comfort zone. Like for example, was working, which I didn't really think I was ever going to be able to work like any job really. But I think it has really helped me to stay on track, really.
That's cool. So, what happened when you came out then? Did you get straight into work, or?
Well, it was kind of a bit crazy because I like about a week after I came out, I was looking for jobs and stuff, and I wasn't really sure how to get into this field. Like, I thought maybe you had to study something or have some kind of qualification, but literally so soon after I came out, I saw that they were hiring for an apprentice. So it kind of felt like a meant to be thing. But it was definitely quick from when I came out, and I guess I just threw myself into all different things, like also learning to drive and just trying to keep myself really, really busy. And like I had a lot of structure and that things were moving forward for me, which I'm really glad I did, because I think when you aren't like doing much, you feel very stuck in a rut. And I think a very big part of addiction sometimes can be boredom. So it was something that I really wanted to avoid, especially moving back to where I am now, which is, I haven't lived here for like 4 years and most of my friends kind of dispersed to other places.
You back in the family home now then? And how's that going?
Yeah, it's actually going really well. I think we have a good routine here. It's just like me and my mum here now, and my sister pops like to and from uni because she's like also up in uni now. So yeah, it's a lot nicer. And I think now that, well, it's the first time really in like, I don't know, like quite a lot of years that my mental health has been quite stable. So I definitely think I'm also easier to live with now.
Did you? So I take it that your sister, this is your sister that had cancer, so she survived. That's great to know. So how old is she?
She's 20,
Okay.
2 years younger than me.
Yeah, and how does she how is she in terms of like addictions and stuff? Is she
Oh, she's on the straight and narrow.
any she hasn't fallen down the gone down the same path.
No, luckily not.
So what type of recovery do you have now? Like, what did you learn in rehab, and what do you do now to keep yourself kind of clean and sober?
So I tried NA for a little bit. I think I did get on well with it. I guess the problem is that here there's only like one meeting a week, and I can't really make it work with my job right now. But I think once I get my license, I'm going to try and like get to some more of them. I don't know. I guess a big part of rehab for me was kind of like, I think you realize that you do blame a lot of your actions on like external things. Like, I definitely struggled with taking responsibility for things that I did. And I think rehab helped me come to terms with that and also kind of forgive myself for certain things. So I think that's definitely changed the way that I act now. I think honestly, mostly it was how to emotionally regulate myself, really. I mean, I still use a mixture of DBT skills as well. I don't know, it was really weird for me, like, because it was like something just clicked in my brain almost. Like, I don't know if that's a typical experience, but it was literally like a switch when I was in there, and like my whole way of thinking was changed really drastically, and my intense emotions really like weren't such an issue anymore.
What was it that flicked the switch?
I don't know, like I've been thinking about this really often, and I feel like it's because since when I was talking about being in a high alert state, since I was young, almost, 24/7, where since my life was chaotic then, I kind of continued the chaos. Like, it was kind of me causing it and putting myself in those situations, but I was still, constantly on guard. And I feel like when I went into rehab, it felt like I was in a really safe environment, where there was people like always around me who could help me out if something went wrong. And I think it just, I could kind of let my guard down fully for the first time. And I think that definitely made a massive difference. And I think also the groups basically struck every single like symptom of my disorder. So like in terms of, I don't know, the way we did groups on relationships, like that is a big symptom of it, having quite disruptive and intense kind of toxic relationships, and yeah, emotional regulation. And I think it was those kind of groups more than anything, really.
Think it'd be safe to say that prior to rehab, you had kind of inability to manage your emotions, full stop.
I honestly, not really. And I think I'd never really given myself much of a shot to learn that. I think, like, yeah, I've done a lot of kind of research on how the disorder is actually formed and what it is. And it is like an innate, like, thing where you just can't control them, or you've never learned how to. And I definitely think, you know, when you're using substances, you're never giving yourself enough time to actually learn how to do that. So yeah, I just, it's even the smallest inconvenience that, you know, it might be emotions that someone normally feels towards that situation, but like times 100, and very disproportionate to what is happening. So it's really, really difficult to regulate yourself, and it definitely takes a lot of time, yeah, to learn how to do that.
And how did you learn how to do that? Like, what tools have you learned that have helped you to go from being incapable of managing your emotions to, you know, now being able to manage your emotions?
I think DBT skills really were the main skills that helped me, because DBT was made by a lady who had the same diagnosis as me. It was made by her for like personality disorders. And they're quite, they're very scientific. Like, for example, one of them is called the tip skill, where you kind of like hold ice over your eyes and like do a breathing exercise. And it shocks your body out of fight or flight, because it essentially thinks that you're like underwater. So it's things like that where, you know, chemically it really makes a difference, and you kind of get that almost immediate relief, like you do with going to a substance, but without those bad consequences. And there's a lot of skills as well, like, communication skills. For example, you know, like how to set boundaries properly and how to communicate when you're unhappy about something without going too far either way, you know, like too angry versus not putting your side across at all and then making yourself feel like more triggered in the long run. So I think definitely that DBT skills are really useful for anyone who struggles with regulating themselves or having really intense emotions.
Never heard the ice thing before over the eye. Does
It's really good, yeah.
that mean you have to carry like an ice pack around with you everywhere?
I guess it's more an at-home kind of remedy, but yeah, it is really helpful, at least it was for me.
That's cool. Yeah, I mean it's really interesting because years ago I wrote a book called Addiction Prevention, and the whole premise of the book was after being in recovery myself for years and then working in the kind of substance misuse field in prisons, I came to the conclusion that basically anybody that suffers with addiction has an inability to manage their emotions on a, you know, on a greater or a lesser scale. You know, it sounds like from what you've kind of expressed that yours was quite an extreme, you know, the way that you feel your emotions is very, very extreme. And I would say that kind of any of us feel our ex emotions, you know, very extremely. Like I certainly relate to that. Like not so much now, obviously in years in recovery, but definitely when I was in active addiction. And like you said, you feel these extreme emotions and you're in fight or flight, and the things that we use are basically just a medication, really, to kind of either avoid the emotions or null the emotions, like numb the emotions. So that was kind of like the premise of it. And then the more intensely we feel the emotions, obviously the more intensely our thought processes become as well, because you're trying to kind of, wrap your head around how you're feeling. You're not got the ability to express how you're feeling, and it just turns into more and more mental health issues, like the washing machine head, as they call it in kind of fellowships. So all this stuff that you're saying, like, really makes sense to me. And it's interesting that you've got this vocabulary for it, so that you kind of like you really understand why you do the things that you do, and you are also now you've got these tools to kind of regulate it, which seems to be working for you. It's really, really cool. I mean, and it's great that you've got recovery at such a young age as well. What does
Yeah.
what's kind of your life like now then?
It's, yeah, I kind of still get a bit blown away by it sometimes because I really didn't think that it would ever be possible for me to be how I am now. Like, most of the time, I'm quite content and like in a state of rest, which even that I didn't think would be possible for me. Obviously, I'm working full time, like working in substance abuse as well, which is like also kind of insane for me. So I definitely wasn't able to work before. I tried to hold down jobs, but it didn't go very well. Learning to drive, like got a car now, and yeah, it's like definitely really crazy for me, really.
And what's been the ripple effect of your recovery on your family as well?
I think that, you know, they don't have to worry about me so much, but I also have a much better relationship with them. Because I think, especially when, you know, my uni days were coming to an end, before I was in recovery, I was kind of stressing out, like, what am I going to do kind of thing. Because obviously I knew I couldn't really use hair. So I think like now we've just all got a really good routine. We like living together, and yeah, I think it's nice as well for my mum because I know she was probably really, really worried about me when I was like in hospital and like kind of having all of these events happening. Yeah, it's nice to, I guess, like have proper trust and like, yeah, she can kind of see that I'm on a good path now.
What would you say to anybody that's kind of struggling, or if you had advice for your 18-year-old self, or even your 14-year-old self, what's the kind of things that you would say to somebody that that might be struggling in the same way that you were back then?
I think like the analogy of almost a plaster, where if you have a wound that needs to be healed, like an emotional wound, if you keep covering it up and never giving it the space to breathe and heal by itself, then like, you know, you're not giving yourself a proper shot. And it might be uncomfortable for a while, but that's the only way your body and your mind will be able to rely on you rather than a substance. And I think every time you go through something sober that you think you won't be able to deal with, your emotional tolerance goes up so much more. And I think the longer you stay sober for, it feels like all the benefits rack up even more. And you know, if you take it day by day, week by week, like you before you know it, like 6 months will have gone, and you'll look back and it feels like all of that is so far behind you. And I think it's a hard thing to describe until you've kind of had that clicking moment. But I think just like surround yourself with people in recovery and other positive people, and just try to take care of yourself and prioritize yourself and your recovery like over anything else really, and everything else will fall into place.
You mentioned your routine and kind of like being quite disciplined with that. So what does that look like?
I guess just like self-care. Like when I was in addiction, I really struggled with keeping daily routines, like even eating and sleeping at the same times every day. So I've been really like regimented with that still. Like I think when you're in treatment, you have to get up at this time of day, you have to eat at this time of day. And that's something that really worked for me. Like it really helped. So like all of self-care really, like that's what I've been really structured with. And I guess like just trying to get out as well, like most days. I think the longer that you are kind of in a rut, the more things will start to get on top of you.
Very true. And what does life and recovery mean to you?
Freedom and peace.
Lovely. Well, thank you very much. It's
Thank you.
a pleasure having a chat with you. And
Yeah, it's been good.
it's nice to see somebody so young doing really, really well.
Thanks.
Yeah, keep it up. Keep up the good work. And yeah, all the best for the future.
Thank you, you too.